Shall we open our meeting by singing hymn number 242? 242. Sing aloud to God our strength. He hath brought us hitherto. He will bring us home at length. This the Lord our God will do. Doubt not, for his word is stable. Fear not, for his arm is able. 242. One has been impressed during the reading meetings, which I'm sure all felt were practical, and that which we need so much for these dark days. How often we've been reminded by those that the Lord has used in these meetings. What a precious privilege it is to sit under the sound of the Word of God. But we were reminded over and over again that this privilege carries with it responsibility. Responsibility. And it was pointed out to us that as the Word of God, by the power of the Spirit, is ministered to our hearts and consciences, it has the effect of drawing us nearer to that blessed Savior, attracting our hearts from away from things down here and filling our vision with His loveliness. But then song to say that, and sad to say, that it's not always so, I'm sure each one of us would confess. And we are reminded too that if the truth of God is ministered to our hearts and there is no response, no desire to walk in it, it has a hardening effect. I'm sure each one of us in our pathway have experienced that, and we've had to learn the lesson. The lesson that He would teach us all, that He will not be satisfied until He has our heart's affections. And before reading a few verses in the 143rd Psalm, I'd like to read one verse in 1 Samuel. This verse was first read to me in my home by our beloved brother, Mr. Harry Hale, whose presence we have missed very much at these meetings. 1 Samuel, the second chapter, and the latter part of verse 3. The Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. I'm sure it rejoiced the hearts of the brethren who invited us here to see so many respond. But in that response on my part and on yours, in coming to these special meetings, what was the motive? What was the desire? Was it to draw apart from the things which crowd in upon us in our busy lives, and to be over His Word together, and to seek to gain from His precious Word that strength, that wisdom, that spiritual discernment that we feel we need so much for these dark days? Oh, I trust that was the desire of each one. But He is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. And now that these special meetings are drawing near to a close, as He looks into your heart and mine, what response has there been? Oh, as we think of the privilege that has been ours to sit under the ministry of the Word of God, with the Word of God in our hands, the Lord Himself in our midst, and the Spirit of God here to minister Christ to our hearts. Oh, how this should speak to us solemnly and give us an increased desire that the time that we have spent here together in His presence would not have been just that we have had the privilege of attending another conference, but that we have been here to hear His voice speaking to us. Those words of encouragement, of counsel, of comfort, of strength that we need to walk in dependence till that moment so soon at hand when the wilderness journey will be over and we'll see that lovely man in the glory. Let us turn now to the 143rd Psalm. Psalm 143, I'm just going to read a few verses. The 8th verse. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. The 10th verse. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Before one speaks to those that are his own, one would like to address a few words to any in this room who may not have yet come to know his loving kindness. Oh, how solemn it is as we heard the faithful word that went forth in the gospel the last two evenings. To think that any, and especially those who are the children of Christian parents, could go away from those meetings, go away from these three-day special meetings, still in their sin. Our brother read us that verse in Luke 12, where it speaks of those who have been in a place of privilege, who have heard the truth of God, and it speaks so solemnly there of them, and it mentions, shall be beaten with many stripes. Shall be beaten with many stripes. Oh, is that your position out of Christ? Are you still a stranger to his love and grace, to that kindness, that loving kindness that he desires to show you? One is reminded of a group of internationally known alpine climbers, and they decided to tackle this alpine peak that was so difficult, so dangerous, and they made their preparations very carefully. And finally they were ready, and they started up that peak. And oh, so often they were almost swept to a terrible death in the chasms below, and they ran out of food. Their strength was almost gone, but finally they overcame all difficulties and got to the top of that peak. And there, almost frozen and so weak, food gone, they realized that they were in a precarious position, and they hastened downward. And oh, they feared that before they would find a place of shelter, that it would be too late. But finally they saw a little shepherd's hut, and they hastened towards it, and there they found shelter and comfort. And after the shepherd's wife had prepared them a warm meal, and their strength returned, they started to recount their achievement. The great dangers, the risks. The certain death that seemed to stare them in the face at times, and finally their triumph. And as this shepherd's wife stood by and listened to this account, after they had finished all their recounting of their feat, she turned and she looked at them. She looked at them and she said just one word. She said, "Pourquoi? Pourquoi? Why? Why? Leave dear ones in home, risk the loss of their lives, all the suffering and danger. Why?" Oh, that was her question. Why? And those men had no answer. Those men had no answer. Why? Pourquoi? Why? And oh, we'd like to ask that same question now of any hero to Christ. Why? Why will you risk all? What are you trying to, heights are you trying to reach? Position, money, wealth, a lovely home, whatever it may be, when your eternal soul salvation is at stake. Oh, why would you take such a risk and go on in your sins, knowing that a certain doom and the judgment of God for your sins lies ahead of you if death should overtake you? Oh, we trust that if there is any here still in their sins, still out of Christ, that you will not risk another moment for your eternal soul's welfare, but that you will bow your head and accept Christ without a moment's delay. Well, in this first verse, we have that lovely prayer. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness. One felt as we sat in the prayer meetings throughout this conference that this seemed to be the spirit of those prayer meetings. When we owned our coldness of heart, our indifference so often to His claims upon us, there seemed to be that spirit in the prayers. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness. Oh, I trust that that has been the prayer of each child of God at these special meetings. That love that has won our hearts, that love of which we were speaking and singing this morning, that love beyond compare, that right now, as these meetings draw to a close, that we will not be satisfied with what we've received, a rich portion that it has been, but that our desire may to be go on and to know more and more and more of His love and His kindness. But oh, at times we find that there has come a distance between our soul and that blessed one whose name we have confessed We have allowed that perhaps in our lives unjudged, which is hindering us from the enjoyment of that loving kindness. Well, we know with the prodigal. With the prodigal, what was it that brought him into blessing? It's when he owned his need. When he owned his need, then he turned his face toward that place that he knew, where there was everything to meet his need. And oh, dear child of God, what a needy people we are. What a needy people we are. But at times, the enemy comes in and fills our hearts with things that shut out that loving kindness. And then we have to be taught that we too are prodigals. There are prodigal Christians as well as prodigal sinners. And in that connection, I'd like to read a verse in Hosea. Hosea, the 14th chapter. And verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Well, we know to whom these verses were written, but all the promises that were made to God's people of old, how much fuller, how much deeper they are for we who are members of his body. Oh, how he would delight in his love to put his arms around you and to remove everything between your soul and his, so that there will be that restored joy and communion, and you too will be able to say, cause me to hear of thy loving kindness. But you know, the flesh doesn't like self-judgment. The flesh doesn't like to be dealt with. And the enemy has been just as busy at these special meetings, if not more so, than at normal times, to prevent any child of God, to prevent me, to prevent you from entering into all the blessings that are ours in Christ, and from judging anything in our lives that would hinder the outflowing of his love to us in all its fullness. I've told that story often before. I love to tell it. I'll like to tell it again. Many here remember Captain Dunlop, who labored so long and faithfully in the Lord's service. And he used to travel about in his day, when there weren't cars like there are today. He used to travel about with horse and buggy. And he'd tell us, you know, he'd say, you know, that horse of mine is cleverer than I am. He'd say, you know, when I start out in my journey away from home, the further I get from home, I have to take out the whip and give the horse a flick to keep it on its way. And the further we get away from home, the oftener I have to give it a little touch with that whip. But he said, the moment I turn that horse's head homeward, homeward, I never have to take that whip out again.
I never have to take that whip out again. And oh, you and I have been turned homeward through a saving grace. And yet, how often, in his ways of wisdom and love, he has to use his rod upon us. Mr. Dunlop used to speak of those unsearchable riches of Christ that are going to be displayed to our hearts through an endless eternity. And he said all that horse had at the end of the journey was a bag of oats. A bag of oats. And he said to think of what you and I have at the end of our journey. That precious Savior. That love that will be displayed in all its fullness. And we will be with him and like him. For we shall see him as he is. Not only like him physically, but we'll be morally like that blessed one. Now, there's another lovely prayer in that verse. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Oh, isn't this a prayer that is suited for these difficult and dark days? Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Is that the language of my heart? Is that the language of your heart? Oh, if it isn't, he giveth more grace. And if as the result of these meetings, this is our prayer, cause me to know thy loving kindness. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Oh, he will come in, and in his love and grace, he will give us of that wisdom. He'll give us that guidance. He'll give us his mind so that we will have the joy of being able to know the way wherein I should walk. I'd like to look at a verse in Isaiah, the 30th chapter. And verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. What a blessed promise from the Word of God. Thine ears shall hear. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Oh, you may say, well, that hasn't been my experience. I've never heard a word spoken to me in quite that way. That may be true. But oh, as we have sat under the sound of the Word of God, how much we have received in the last few days that would answer to just this verse. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And no matter what the problem may be, how difficult, how complex, how trying, there is an answer in this blessed book. An answer to every problem in life's pathway. Either direct instructions from the Word of God or a principle there. And so the Word tells us, thy Word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Oh, may we cling to this precious book. May we read its pages more frequently. You know, I was visiting a dear young Christian couple who were exercised about their pathway. And the question came up during our talk together about family readings. And they said, you know, we've always wanted to have a family reading. But you know, with getting the children away to school and my husband getting away to work, we never seem to be able to have time for it. Never seem to be able to have time. Well, I said, if we start the day with the Lord, we start it in a way that will sustain us and keep us. If we don't find time for it, we miss the blessing. So I picked a chapter in Ephesians, and I said, I'm going to hand you my watch. And I said, it has a minute hand on it, as well as a second hand, as well as a minute hand. And I'm going to read 16 verses. 16 verses. I'm going to read them, not quickly, not slowly. And I said, I want you to tell me just how long it's taken. So I read the verses, and when the reading was over, I said, how long did it take? He put up his finger. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Now I said, the longest prayer in the Bible, the dedication of the temple, if you read it through, you'll find it takes 5 minutes. Oh, dear saint of God, how the enemy comes in and fills our hearts and minds that we haven't got time. No, we haven't got time. We've got time for most everything else, though, to have a good hearty breakfast and to arrange ourselves in a way that we feel will be suitable for the day. But oh, when it comes to this precious word, how far short we fall. Oh, may we start the day. Start the day on our knees. Start the day feeding on Christ. And we'll find that throughout the day, He'll give us to know, in all the problems that come before us, the way wherein we should walk. One verse in Ephesians before we go on. The fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And there's a precious exhortation there in the first verse. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Oh, how often our brother Barry reminded us that no privilege on earth was greater than seeking to walk with a rejected Christ. And those that have sought by His grace to follow in the path that He has pointed out have found this to be true. Blessedly true. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Oh, what a wondrous vocation. And as our brother Hale used to remind us so often, that if this morning we broke bread, just as forgiven sinners, how much we missed of the truth of God. Members of His body. Members of His body. Not only forgiven sinners, but members of His body. And the habitation of God through the Spirit. Oh, how little thought we give to these things. That you and I,
through grace, are members of His body, and the habitation of God through the Spirit. Surely, as we ponder these things in His presence, it would give us to be on our knees, seeking grace, seeking that strength that we need to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Now in the 10th verse, we have another prayer. Teach me to do Thy will. Oh, how needful each of these prayers are. Cause me to hear Thy loving kindness. Oh, if that isn't true of us. If your heart and mine is not occupied with that blessed Savior, all of the ministry that we have received, if He is not the object of our lives, all of the ministry that we have received will not have its fullness and freshness with us. Cause me to hear Thy loving kindness. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Teach me to do Thy will. Oh, here again is a prayer that we fall far short in. And how often we forget, to ask for grace, to be submissive, to do His will. If there is one thing that hinders us in our Christian pathway, it's those wills of ours. Teach me to do Thy will. Oh, may we not forget that. As on bended knee we seek from day to day and throughout the day for wisdom, for grace, may that be part of our prayer. Teach me to do Thy will. And in that connection, I'd like to look in Philippians, the 2nd chapter. And verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Oh, some may say, well, I find it so difficult at times to know His will. Oh, if we're walking in subjection, this will be true of us. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Sometimes we think in connection with our daily prayers of our pathway here and all the things that we have before us. Our local assembly, the dear ones that we have in our hearts, our own families, and everything in the circle with which we're connected. And we forget very often, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Oh, let us never forget, because if we do, we miss so much of the blessed truth of the Word of God. That what He does is for His glory and His pleasure and in wisdom and love for our richest blessings. But first of all, It's for His good pleasure, His glory, and that is always for our richest blessing. And so that is something, when we're thinking of that prayer, teach me to do Thy will. Oh, let us keep in mind that He is working, first of all, for that which is His good pleasure. And if we have before us the scope of His good pleasure, His wisdom, His will, it'll give us the grace and subjection and the desire that He will work out, work in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now in the 8th verse, we have another precious thought. For in Thee do I trust. For in Thee do I trust. How often it's been mentioned during these special meetings that the object of the enemy of our souls is to instill a doubt, a misgiving as to the love and wisdom of His ways with us. And, sad to say, He has succeeded with me. Perhaps He has with you. But oh, may this be, as it was the psalmist's prayer, for in Thee do I put my trust. And then we have, for I lift up my soul unto Thee. For I lift up my soul unto Thee. That holy confidence coming with boldness to the throne of grace, there to find help in time of need, and there in that trust in His wisdom and in His love, and that confidence and dependence upon Him, we can say those lovely words, for I lift up my soul unto Thee. Oh, what would we do without the prayer meeting? What would we do without that private prayer, which one feels for himself is so often neglected? But oh, let us each one take advantage more and more of the resources that are ours in that blessed Savior. For in Thee do I trust, for I lift up my soul unto Thee. O dear child of God, how much we have missed in our lives through not being in the sanctuary. How many problems have beset us that we might have been saved from if there had been that laying it all before Him. And oh, how blessed it is that as we see all around us the truth being given up, that we have this recourse, this wonderful recourse to the throne of grace at all times. That one who never slumbers nor sleeps. That one whose ear is ever open. Oh, may we be found as these difficult and dark days seem to crowd in upon us. And there's so much to disturb, so much to exercise. May we be found increasingly on our knees before the throne of grace. And if we are,
In His presence we'll find that strength, that help, that blessing that will sustain us every step of the way. Many years ago, at the time of the Klondike strike, there was a man in Chicago who made up his mind that he was going to join those that were searching for that gold. And he made his preparations and left home, to leave home. But he told his daughter before he left, he said, "If I'm successful in striking it rich, I'm going to bring you home a beautiful gift. A beautiful gift." And he made his way to the Klondike. And there, after a period of time, he did accomplish what he set out to do. He struck it rich. He found a rich vein of gold and became a very wealthy man. But he didn't forget his promise to his daughter. And he bought her that expensive gift that he had promised. And when he brought it home, all beautifully gift-wrapped, she unwrapped it, and when the wrappings came off, there was a burst of exclamation from her at the beauty of that casket in which these presents lay. Oh, the beauty of that casket was really something to behold. And then she opened the casket, and she noticed that there were compartments. And in each compartment there was a beautiful jewel. And it seemed that each one in the next compartment was larger, more beautiful, more lovely than the one before. And oh, her ecstasy as she examined all these beautiful diamonds and jewels. But then as she shut the casket again, she exclaimed, "Oh, my, this casket is even more beautiful than all those jewels in these compartments." And oh, isn't that true with us? But that blessed one, that one who is altogether lovely, he is more beautiful. When we think of all our wonderful blessings, of which we've been occupied in the last few days, all those blessings in Him. But oh, He is the one who is altogether lovely. He is the one that desires to fill your heart and mine. Oh, have you found Him so? Or has your sight become dim? Have you allowed the things of the world to come in between your heart and Christ? And is the enemy succeeding in robbing you of the joy of your salvation? Oh, how solemn it is that if we do not exercise daily self-judgment, there is no limit to how far we can wander away from the path wherein we should walk. Just recently, there was a dear sister who had lost her husband very suddenly. He just dropped dead like that. And one had the privilege of seeking to help her in her circumstances and the settling up of her affairs. But there was a member of that family who had once confessed the Lord, once been at His table, and as one got to know Him more, got to know Him better in the days that one was around this house, one had known of His course,
and how far he'd wandered from the Lord. He wandered in such paths that are unmentionable. You just question as to whether you could even invite him to your house for a meal. So low had he sunk. Well, is he a child of God? Scripture says, by their fruits ye shall know them. And with each one of us, if there isn't that daily self-judgment in his presence, you and I can wander into paths that will lead us into deepest sorrow and dishonor to that precious name by which we've been called. Oh, may we seek grace, and may our prayer be, for in thee do I trust. For I lift up my soul unto thee, for thou art my God. For thou art my God. Oh, the Apostle Paul could speak of my God shall supply. My God, for thou art my God. Oh, what wondrous resources are ours as we think of the position into which we've been brought and how grace is wrought for us. And now he tells us that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. Oh, may the result of these meetings be not that you and I are going to go home and say, well, I've been neglecting the prayer meeting. I shouldn't do it. I know the Lord is there. I should be there. I've been neglecting the reading meeting. I should be there too. And there's service for himself that I should be occupied. Oh no, that line of things will never keep us, although those should be our desires. But if you and I go home and our prayer is, cause me to hear thy loving kindness. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness. Oh, to know in a deeper and a fuller way that love that went down into death for us. Because that is the only thing that will keep us, is occupation with Christ, walking by faith and in obedience to his word, and in communion as we tread our journey homeward. We know that we can only do this through his grace. We know that we cannot do it in our own strength. But oh, these special meetings have pointed out to us, I've never been at a conference before when these chapters have been taken up, and one felt how suited and how needed they are for the day in which we live, that we might have that wisdom and that grace to walk worthy of the high vocation wherewith we are called. Number 47. Grace taught our wandering feet to tread the heavenly road, and new supplies each hour we meet while traveling home to God. Number 47.